Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Friday, 17th of January, 2020. From Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Plus background to the news, Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, the teachers' dispute descends into inter-union rivalry. The new sea terminal in Liverpool has been started. We have an update on what the government's climate target report means, part 5 of 10, and what the PAG says about politicians' pay.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the news headlines. First am I, Dolan Mercer.
First am I. Police and ambulance staff are dealing with an incident on Market Street in Douglas, near to the old Shoprite or Iceland building. Market Street is closed to the public from Church Road Marina towards Marks and Spencer. You're being told by police to avoid the area. No details as to the nature of the incident have been released yet. An MHK says the uncertain future of Ballasalla Post Office is the perfect example of everything a number of Tynwald members were saying would happen. The Post Office has issued a statement which refutes what Laurie Hooper has said. It can be read on this story on manxradio.com's news page. Three people were checked over for smoke inhalation this morning following a kitchen fire at a property in Harcroft Meadow in Douglas. Two major appliances were mobilised at around 20 past 10. Smoke alarms had given the occupants early warning about the fire, enabling them to get out before it took hold. Further afield, as UK ministers announce a clampdown on so-called county lines drug gangs, critics say cuts by the Conservative Party have allowed the problem to grow. The British Home Secretary has been on a raid by police in Liverpool and pledged more money to tackle criminal groups who exploit children as drug mules. And the US has announced yet more sanctions against Iran, calling them the toughest ever. Earlier, the country's supreme leader led Friday prayers for the first time in 8 years, calling Donald Trump a clown. Those are the headlines. More at 6. Mish Dolan Mercer, Manx Radio News.
Man Benham Advocates. Like everything comforting, we're there when you need us. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
27 minutes before 6, the news from Ronald's Way Met Office in the North Irish Sea. There's a strong wind warning on the Isle of Man. A pleasant night, dry with fresh to west-south-westerly winds turning to the northwest. We're down to 2 degrees through the night, so watch out for icy patches on untreated roads. And maybe some frost knocking around as well. For the weekend, dry and sunny with light breezes, the risk of overnight frost again. Maximum in the daytime of 8 Celsius, overnight 3 degrees. Low water tonight is at 8 minutes past 11. High water in the morning at 5 past 5. Sunrise, 26 minutes past 8 tomorrow morning. And low water is at 20 past 11.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. manxglass.com.
Big news today. Politicians, dignitaries and the media gathered by the River Mersey for the groundbreaking at the site of the new landing stage for the steam packet. This is the start of the work, which will eventually see the new sea terminal open in July next year, 2021. Manx Radio's Sian Cowper takes up the story. You'll also hear Darren Lawless of Peel Land and Property, the people in charge of the land, Councillor Linny Hennigan, Deputy Mayor of Liverpool, and our own Chief Minister Howard Quayle, followed by Infrastructure Minister Ray Harmer, MHK.
What's been happening today is the Chief Minister, the Infrastructure Minister, various dignitaries from Liverpool Council, we've had the Metropolitan Mayor, one of the deputy mayors has been there as well, and it's been the groundbreaking ceremony. It's part of any construction process where surely this is work getting underway now on this ferry terminal. And also, in addition, there has been the handing over of a time capsule from the Isle of Man, which the Chief Minister has presented to the construction company there, and that's going to be buried on site. So, of course, the Isle of Man is paying for the ferry terminal. Liverpool Council is actually paying for all the road links around it, which they have seen as an investment. They're very happy to have Isle of Man passengers coming through the city, spending their money in the city. That's something they see as a real bonus for them.
It's a great day, actually, to be stood here and marking the commencement on site, because we've been working on this project for many years. We've been successful in securing a master plan that will ultimately deliver over 20 million square feet of commercial, leisure, residential space.
It's a partnership, so obviously the council and the city region are putting in terms of the infrastructure and what we're doing to the roads to make it all come together. But no, it's definitely not a one-way thing. It's a definite partnership approach and everyone benefits.
To have really good facilities for the people of the Isle of Man and people coming to visit the Isle of Man, we really have upped our game and we'll be providing fantastic facilities here. It's going to be a really fantastic place to visit.
And what about the budget as well? We've heard, I think it was originally in the 26 million region, it's gone up a few times to 38. Is that still the case?
38 is what it is the case, but as you ever develop a project and as the requirements change and as you add things to the project, then obviously that is the delivery, that's how much it will cost. So 38 million is the investment, and obviously that's what will take us through now to 2021.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening, it's 24 minutes to 6 and this is Update from Manx Radio. A union leader has called government policy a cheap attempt to try and divide the teaching unions on the Isle of Man, after the National Education Union says it's negotiated a really good deal for island teachers with the government. The NEU, which says it is the biggest teaching union on the Isle of Man, has agreed a deal in principle with education bosses. Alex Watton spoke to Rob Kelsey for the NAHT, that's the Head Teachers Union, for his response, and also Tina Gleghorn from the NEU. Who are you following? That's the National Education Union, who doesn't believe that they've split the unions.
My initial reaction is if the Department for Education feel that they've got an agreement, they are totally mistaken. There is a well-established pay bargaining arena which comprises of four unions, not one. And therefore to see this attempt to try and divide that pay bargaining group, we see that as a sleight of hand. Indeed, only yesterday in the House of Keys, we met with a large number of MHKs, including the Treasury Minister and Education Minister, who again revealed nothing in terms of any offer that had been made to any of the sort of pay bargaining group. So it will be seen for what it is, and a cheap attempt really to try and divide the education unions.
We feel it is a really, really good deal for the teachers here on the island. It's maintaining the links with the school teachers' documents, which keeps everyone safe here, and yet gives us extra, gives us more, and recognises the work we do and some of the issues we might have financially on the island.
I wonder what your reaction is this morning, because we did speak to one of the members of the NAHT, the National Association of Head Teachers, who has sort of dubbed this whole agreement a way for government essentially to divide education unions. What's your reaction to that?
It doesn't really make a lot of sense, because why would we do that? What possible benefit would we and our members have of doing that? It's just a bit. I don't understand it, I'm afraid. That's all I can comment on that comment.
Well, as you say, other unions are balloting at the moment. You as a union are the only ones not to be. But this agreement in principle is, of course, still subject to agreement or the majority of your members. So what are the next steps? What's happening?
Well, we're holding an information meeting on Monday between 4:30 and 5:30. That will be an opportunity for members who have questions or concerns to raise them with us, for us to brief everyone and do it in that personal way where they can have that interaction and that bit of extra understanding. And following that, we're hoping to close the consultation on Friday and go with what our members have opted to do. And we are recommending that they accept the offer. We do feel genuinely it's the best offer that can be achieved through negotiation, and we feel it benefits our members, absolutely.
How many people are you representing, just to sort of put it into a bigger picture for people?
We have approximately 650 members in total, but we do include support staff in our membership, and that does include supply teachers who are not under contract with the department in the same way as a teacher who has a contract. So once those people are accounted for, we have approximately between 550 and 600 teachers. And as we understand it, the department employs between 800 and 850 teachers by our calculations. That gives us a sizable chunk of the teaching population.
And here's a statement from the third of the four unions, the NASUWT, National Association of Schoolmasters, Union of Women Teachers. They've issued this statement, read to you by Ed Oldham.
Commenting on reports of an agreement of a deal on teachers' pay between the National Education Union and the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, Ms. Chris Keats, who's Acting General Secretary of the NASUWT, has said, "Whatever agreement has been reached with the NEU, the DESC should be in no doubt that the NASUWT remains in national dispute and the ballot of its members continues and is unaffected by this announcement. The NASUWT is looking for an agreement which meaningfully addresses the severe real-term cuts to pay that Isle of Man teachers have experienced since 2010. The reported deal falls far short of its members and the NASUWT's expectations. The union has been clear from the outset, it says, that a multi-year strategy to address the erosion of pay will be required, and one-off awards are only likely merely to scratch the surface of what is needed to make pay on the Isle of Man competitive in order to recruit and retain the best teachers. The NASUT says alone it accounts for over 50% of the teaching workforce on the island, and the DESC is seriously misguided if it thinks the ill-advised strategy it's adopted to seek to deal with one union only will resolve the dispute."
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff. Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree left Heysham at 19 minutes past two this afternoon, arriving just after 6 o'clock in Douglas, spinning round and heading off for Heysham at 8:30 tonight, arriving at 12:15. The 02:15 from Heysham, leaving on time, will be arriving at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's everything as you were. Just slightly late departures for the Ben McCree. Of course, the Ben is the only craft on duty. Manannan still tied up in Douglas Harbour. She'll resume her seasonal fast craft services into Liverpool this March 27th. The first sailing of the year to Dublin is the day after, March 28th, and she heads for Belfast on April the 8th.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com.
17 minutes to 6 on Update on Manx Radio. Well, this week and next, we're looking at the substantial report submitted by Professor James Curran and his team into climate change. It's entitled The Programme for Achievement of Climate Targets for the Isle of Man. Many of the concepts are familiar, some not so. Ahead of a Tynwald debate into this report, next week, Manx Radio's John Moss looks at the idea of nuclear small modular reactors. Remember the acronym SMRs.
This week, a talk in Ramsey on carbon neutrality covered a number of subjects, but not SMRs, a point not lost on one person in the audience.
I think it was a pity no mention was made of small modular nuclear reactors, which are mentioned in the Professor Curran report, but they haven't been mentioned at all in the government response to his paper. We need to look at all possibilities, and if it's really a climate emergency, then we should look at all sorts of things, even if people are against nuclear.
So what is an SMR? Well, it's basically a smaller than usual nuclear reactor, sometimes considered safer due to its size, generates less than 300 megawatts, according to this account, of electricity, and can be small enough to fit into a gymnasium, so they can operate in areas where less power is required. They're called modular because they can operate individually, or as part of a larger nuclear complex. Multiple SMRs can be set up at a single nuclear plant to supply a similar level of power as larger generators, which means, we're told, a nuclear power plant can be expanded gradually as demand increases. The Pullrose Power Station has an output of 84 megawatts, after taking off 3 megawatts that its operation consumes. In his report, Professor Curran says each SMR has a 400 megawatt capacity. The total annual electric demand in the Isle of Man is 364 gigawatt hours. A DC interconnector may be required, he notes, to export surplus electricity to the UK. We'd have too much of it. Incidentally, if we did go on the SMR route, we could kiss goodbye to our UNESCO Biosphere Reserve designation under present rules anyway. The report points out that nuclear technology is not a renewable source of energy, depending on imports of uranium-235. And it adds, the Isle of Man may face significant regulatory, environmental and political barriers to adopting nuclear SMR technology, though from a technical perspective, it offers long-term 60-plus years infrastructure to supply stable electric power in the context of increased electrification of surface transport, electric cars, and domestic heating. A watching brief on this SMR technology is advised. The elephant in the room is glowing, of course. What do you do with the nuclear waste?
Manx Radio's Business Briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
Well, after earlier on this week talking about the Forex people, Travelex's problems, apparently some of Travelex's systems are back up and running after that New Year's Eve cyber attack, which left customers unable to exchange foreign currency online at some of Britain's biggest banks, which work alongside as white labels for the company. They'll now be able to do so in-store orders for home delivery and collection in the branch as well. In London, what do you know about palladium? Well, it's very expensive. A squeeze on ready availability of the automotive metal palladium has driven up already record high prices by 25% in 2 weeks, accelerating a four-year rally and stoking expectations for further gains, analysts note. A long-term supply deficits led to prices of the metal used mainly in engine exhaust to curb harmful emissions to double over the last year. Consumers' immediate needs are often being met in the lending market, in which holders of the metal put their stocks to work for a profit. However, rates charged to lease palladium have spiked in recent weeks, suggesting availability is tight. In the futures market, prices of palladium for near-term delivery have already moved sharply above those for later data contracts, a situation known as backwardation, which also indicates buyers fear a lack of ready supply. Spot palladium broke the $2,500 an ounce mark today, its highest ever from less than $500 per ounce in January 2016. Before this rally began, palladium prices had never exceeded $1,100. So who's hoovering up the supply? One word, China. The market awaits developments.
WiMAX, technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit ymanx.com today. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks rallied after China's GDP numbers grew in line with expectations, lifting global markets. Markets in Asia rose as the release of those China GDP numbers showed growth was in line with analyst expectations. The safe haven Japanese yen weakened as record high stocks showed stronger risk appetite. Oil prices edged higher but were set to end the week broadly steady as sluggish economic growth in China, the world's biggest crude importer, raised concerns of fuel demand. Gold edged higher, but was on track to post its first weekly decline in six. In corporate news, NMC Health, always in the news, the UAE healthcare operator, was a high riser after saying it had appointed an American federal judge and FBI director to look into allegations made against the company. BA and Iberia parent IAG flew higher after ditching its rule to impose a limit on non-EU shareholders. In February last year, IAG said it was fixing the maximum permitted ownership by non-European Union entities to 47.5%. On the markets at the close, the FTSE 100 was up 0.8% at 7,674. The DAX in Frankfurt up just over 0.5% at 13,514. Just after 5 o'clock in New York, the Dow Jones was up 0.1% at 29,326. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index slightly down at 9,355. And still going strong in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.2% at 3,322. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 30.2 cents and €1 17.4. And in commodities, the big two, gold was up 0.3% at $1,557 an ounce, and Brent crude down slightly at $64.60 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers. years and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall, telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather.
Here's the news. If you're sailing, kayaking, windsurfing, paddleboarding, diving or surfing this weekend, the inshore coastal forecast as follows for the weekend. Dry with good sunny spells this weekend. Cold, potentially frosty mornings on both days. Sea temperature 9 degrees Celsius. On Saturday, the wind west-northwest 4 or 5, decreasing 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Wave height a half to a metre. Wave period 4.5 to 5.5 seconds. High waters 5.05 tomorrow morning and 90 minutes to 6 tomorrow evening. Maximum air temperature 7, wind chill is 2. Sunday, the wind west-northwest, soon backing west or southwest 3 or 4. Wave height 0.6 to 1.2 metres. Wave period 4 to 5 seconds. High waters on Sunday, 17 minutes past 6 a.m. and 8 minutes to 7 p.m.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate. Manx Radio Sport.
Faster by Ed Oldham.
The Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games look like they could be out of reach for Mark Cavendish after he missed out on selection for the final World Cup event of the season. The Rio silver medalist could appeal for special dispensation to race. However, there may not be a spot for a Madison specialist on the squad, according to British cycling head coach Ian Dyer, who is looking to take a rider who can also race in the team pursuit. Cav has until next month to race a World Cup event or the World Championships next month to qualify for the Olympics. The Manxman is starting his season at Milan San Remo, which he won in 2009, and has joined Bahrain McLaren on the road for 2020. Further afield, England's cricketers have finished day two of the third test with South Africa in a dominant position. They declared their first innings on 499 for 9 before reducing the hosts to 60 for 2 before rain stopped play in Port Elizabeth. Ollie Pope scored his maiden test 100 with the bat, hitting an unbeaten 135. Joe Root's side are attempting to go 2-1 up in the four-match series. In rugby union, Saracens could be automatically relegated from the Premiership if they fail to meet the salary cap this season. The defending champions have already been docked 35 points and fined £5.3 million after they were found guilty of breaking rules over the last three campaigns. And Premier League referees are being advised to start using pitch-side monitors from this weekend if VAR recommends they change a yellow card to a red. They'd previously been told they should only go to the referee review area if they hadn't seen an incident. The pitch-side monitor hasn't been used in any top-flight games this season, but Michael Oliver did consult it in this month's FA Cup tie between Crystal Palace and Derby.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Still that problem on Market Street in Douglas. Police and ambulance staff are dealing with an incident by the old Shoprite Iceland building, or Lipton's if you want to go back that far. Market Street's closed to the public from Church Road Marina towards Marks and Spencer. And obviously Church Road Marina is closed anyway because of those gas and waterworks. So please avoid that area. Central Douglas will be fairly snarled up at the moment. Finch Road, Church Road Marina is closed till the end of February, by the way, for that water and gas connection. Temporary two-way 24-hour traffic lights at Main Road in Colby for road surfacing and curbing work, and also at Ramsey Road, Laxey, around the roadworks there as well. Curragh Road, St John's, the Foxtel Road in St John's opens tomorrow, apparently. Good news. Closed for roadworks, it was, for the Western Amenity site. So you'll be able to drive to your heart's content around there from tomorrow. Glen Road in Laxey is closed. Temporary closure from Churchill Rensall Hill Junction to the junction with Minorca Hill. Lord Street in Douglas still got that one-way traffic scheme as well. And of course, all the information on trains, planes, boats, buses and roadworks at manxradio.com, powered by Miller Chaps of Ramsey. The news from the airport is everything is just about on time. The Liverpool departure just after 4 o'clock was 8 minutes late. The 5:10 to London City left 20 minutes late. 25 past to Liverpool was 10 minutes late. The Dublin departure just 5 minutes late. Later departures to Manchester, Liverpool, Edinburgh, Gatwick and hopefully Bristol reporting no problems at the moment.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions 670-145. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
A pressure group has branded a review into the salaries of politicians a missed opportunity to save public money. This comes after an independent report suggested rolling up tax-free expenses and departmental uplifts into a new higher basic salary for Tynwald members. The Positive Action Group, PAG, says members of the LegCo should take a pay cut to reflect the lack of constituency work. Roger Tomlinson spoke to our local democracy reporter, Ewan Gorn.
I'm somewhat underwhelmed because I think the panel has lost an opportunity to save some real money for the taxpayer. They've been very conscious of their terms of reference, which were given to them by the Emoluments Committee. I think they've lost an opportunity to get to grips with the overall pay scales and the effect that they have on the taxpayer.
What have they missed then?
Well, we've been, as an organisation, Positive Action Group has been writing to the Emoluments Committee for about 2 years now, saying there's a differential between the workload of MLCs and MHKs. We did a survey of MHKs and worked out that 25% of their time is spent on constituency works. MLCs don't have constituencies, so it just seems to me an inequity of workload.
The report is trying to reflect that in the fact that it's actually recommending a reduction in MLCs' pay, provided they already are a departmental member, which is another issue, I suppose. Have they failed to reflect that? Because it seems that they have tried to reflect the difference in the constituency.
The principle seems to be there, but it's not enough in our estimation. It should be
so
less.
So cut MLC pay even further to make the differentiation.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So how would you measure that? Because
well,
some MLCs...
I said earlier, we did measure it by doing this survey of MHKs, and it was a subjective survey, admit that, and they found it very difficult, MHKs found it very difficult to estimate the amount of constituency work, the time that that took. But it worked out on average, about 25%.
A packed house tonight in Ballasalla. At the Village Hall, the proposed closure of the Ballasalla post office will be discussed heatedly tonight. The Post Office Board will give a presentation and answer questions. If it's something that concerns you, get along there for 7 o'clock tonight. It may be standing room only. MHKs will be there as well. We'll watch that with interest. And of course, you can stay tuned to Manx Radio News right across the weekend. Also, go to manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey, for Manx Radio videos. They're all there. MTTV, Culture Van, and Manx National Heritage. Follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and like us on Facebook. After 6 o'clock tonight, it's Friday. Sport preview with Ed Oldham. George Ferguson is here at 6:30. That's it for Update this week, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Dolan Mercer, producer Sarah Hendy. I'm Andy Wint. An Update is back Monday evening at 5:30. Have a great weekend.
WINT.